Our guest today, Bob Mould, has made some of the most influential music of the punk rock era with Husker Du and albums like Zen Arcade and Candy Apple Gray. He went on to play with Sugar and to a solo career of guitar-driven rock. In 2002, he took kind of a stylistic turn to make the electronica album modulate, and some of those sounds can be found on his new album District Line as well. All in all, nowadays, Bob is a very happy out gay man making his own music and even DJing a very popular monthly club night in his hometown of Washington, D.C. His previous album, Body of Song, took a long time to write, so I started out asking Bob about writing the music for District Line.
I started writing Stupid Now, the first song, actually, the week that Body of Song came out.
Really?
And had finished. There was a couple different things that happened on this record that I was hoping that it was going to be out in March of 07. That was the plan. And had a family emergency that took me away from my original sessions in September of 06. Had to go back, spend time with my parents in Florida, and wasn't able to revisit the recording again until maybe March of 07. And then at that point, I was sort of in a rush to get it done.
Well, now, if Stupid Now was the first thing you had ready and it's the first song, mm-hmm. is that just because it stuck in your head? You thought it was a good opener anyway?
Yeah. I still sort of write albums as albums go. You know, I try to write albums in place. Stupid Now, obviously, when I started it, I thought, well, this would be a great way to start a record. You know, it's sort of sparse in that sort of reaching out and grabbing lyric that please listen to me and don't disagree. Miniature Parade was the last song that was written, yet Walls in Time is the album closer, which, you know,
it's a good closer. Yeah,
that's a workbook outtake, so it's 20 years old. And most of the record, Return to Dust, was written sort of knowing that would be a centerpiece. I'm still very concerned when I write records about tempo and feel and key and the things that I think really make albums move like I remember albums moving. So it's a nice, and it's concise, 42 minutes maybe.
Well, let's start at the beginning. This is Stupid Now from the new Bob Mould album, District Line.
Please listen to me and don't disagree. Even as we fight, doesn't matter to me. Please listen to me and don't disagree. Even as we fight, it doesn't matter to me.
Stupid Now, the first song written and the first song from Bob Mould's new album, District Line. We're getting a chance to talk with him about this. Obviously, people love the fact when you do a guitar-paced album. And I'm smiling as I say that because as good an album as Modulate was, I'm sure you heard from a lot of people when you put that out.
Yeah,
but what you've done on this, though, if you listen to this record, there's a lot of electronic touches and things, I'm sure, with the rhythms and things that have to do with studios and electronic things.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if one can look at Modulate, which was an electronic album, mm-hmm. as a precursor in that ways, or does your DJing affect that in any way?
Well, I think it's all of the above, and I guess, you know, going in order, going back to the end of 98, Last Dog and Pony Show, I sort of laid that out that was going to be the last, you know, electric tour that I did, last band tour. I wanted to just hang that up.
Why was that?
Well, partly because I'd been doing it for 20 years, partly because by 1998, the art form that I sort of helped to establish had become a parody of itself. But on a personal level, I was living in New York City at the time. I was 38 and I didn't feel fully integrated as a gay man living in New York City. There was a lot of, you know, things for myself personally that I wanted to do, you know, sort of change my lifestyle and start, you know, going to the gym and, you know, being more involved with the community, you know, with fundraising and sort of being a little more visible. And, you know, the soundtrack to that life in Manhattan at the time was club music.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I started to hear things that I liked. I started shopping at different record stores that specialized more in dance music, electronic music. Got turned on some great, great things that were going on, including Rich Morrell's record, Queen of the Highway. I moved to, you know, I put out Modulate. I moved to DC in 02. Rich and I get acquainted and we start working together, writing and doing things. I asked him one day, we were at his studio, and I looked over in the corner. I said, "What's in the box?" And he goes, "Oh, it's a DJ rig." Rich's history at that time was engineering and writing for Deep Dish, who are, you know, internationally known DJs. And he said, "They gave me that thing, and I hate DJs, and I hate DJing. It seems so silly." I said, "Well, dude, I don't know anybody in DC. We should, like, throw a party and see if anybody shows up." And in January of 03, we started a party called Blow Off. And we just had our 5-year anniversary in D.C., and it's been an amazing thing for me personally and for the town. It's, you know, working with Rich, I've learned a lot about electronic music. With DJing, I've been exposed to so much new music now. I've become a big music fan again. And, you know, like you said, to wrap it back around to District Line and the electronic flourishes, this record basically is... compositionally as a guitar record, but there are still the electronic flourishes that signal, you know, that are the signal events or move things along dynamically.
Well, I wanted to play Shelter Me from the disc because this is one that I'm sure you can play at a club and get people on the floor with because it's...
Absolutely.
And how was this constructed? I don't know if you don't want to go into too much detail, but it seems to have electronic underpinnings.
Yeah, it does. This one is very loop-based. Just started with sort of like, you know, blind, sort of throwing a dart at the board and grabbing a loop. There's actually like a Dolac... like a Indian thumb drum kind of loop that sort of sets it up. The vocal that's on it is the first time I ever sang it. And I had to, you know, and I you know, this happens a lot where I wake up in the morning and I go in and listen to what I've been working on. And I just turn the microphone on and I start making up words. So this is literally the first thing that came out of my mouth. And there's like moments where, because I had just woken up, the pitch is terrible. So I had to go in and use like pitch correction tools to sort of get it to sound like music.
Well, so. it's actually a really powerful you know, piece of music. This is Shelter Me. Shelter Me from District Line. We're talking with Bob Mould about his new album. And I really want to talk about Blow Off because I think that the whole dance thing, the club thing you do is really interesting. Because if I were to draw, well, you tell me, if I'm drawing a Venn diagram of indie rock music and gay club culture, it's probably not a big overlapping area.
No, it's not. It's carved out a little niche. Yeah, it's Blow Off is a monthly event. We've been doing it for 5 years in D.C. We've started up in New York City now. We've gone out and done a couple festivals in Olympia, Washington, and we tried Portland, Oregon, and some other places. But the idea is it's a monthly get together at a rock club. It's not at a gay club. It's at a music hall, both D.C. and New York.
Which kind of makes says something right there, right?
Yeah. So it's taking it one step back and saying, okay, this is a music event. So it's music first and foremost. The audience is probably, I would say, 98% gay men, and they're mostly 30s and 40s. Not so much the twinkie clubby kids, as more just regular guys who get together and drink beer and listen to music. So again, it's one more step a little bit off of the center of what people think when they think of, you know, gay club life. We play everything from, you know, Perro del Mar to, you know, M83 to Justice to You know, straight up rock stuff. You know, I'll play a lot of house stuff, a lot of the French house, you know, like Daft Punk. And then now this whole new wave of people that, you know, that are their proteges.
And when you're mixing, are you mixing album to album, or do you use a computer? And
using CDs, but, you know, mixing CDs as if we were mixing albums. That's, you know, so there is ways to loop things and filter things as on the fly. But, the playlist is very diverse, and, I don't take requests, so it's a you know, we've been trying to educate the DC gay music fan that there is something beyond, you know, a Beyonce remix, which is good once in a while, but yeah, not for a whole night.
it's fascinating, and it seems like that it travels okay too. I mean,
it travels easy. We also do live visuals. I have a fellow, Nick LaPata, who we've started this in the past few years, where, you know, we go down to, Nick will go down to like the National Archives and pick up like old military footage or instructional videos or, you know, anything, and he does live video manipulation to the beat. So every night the visuals are very different. We have like big 20-foot screens in the club, and I mean it's quite an event. And I think, you know, the one thing that's been really fun for me is a lot of people don't know my normal work, and they come to this. We have 1,000 people that come and dance, but there's also people coming who come up to me and they're like in their early 40s and say, you know, I saw you in Husker Du, you know, and I wasn't really out then, and I sort of thought that you might be gay. And people really have no idea how touching that is, you know, 20 years later, you know, for people to come up and say that, and we're like hanging out and taking our shirts off and dancing and having a great time playing the music that I set out to destroy.
That's funny. It is. Yeah. The world does turn.
Oh,
well, it's funny. Along those lines, I wanted to read the sticker that's on the front of your new album, mm-hmm. Which says that the new CD combines the fire of his earliest work in Husker Du, the accessibility of his alternative rock genre-defining trio Sugar, and the introspection found in his solo releases. Do you see your work as all in a whole?
I see everything that brought it to this point, and I see where I do sort of see how it started, you know, as a kid who, you know, heard the first, you know, I mean, I was writing songs when I was 9 years old on piano, you know, I loved the Beatles and all that stuff, but, you know, a kid who was for his 16th birthday got the Ramones' first album. And then quickly got a guitar and learned how to play and started a group called Husker Du. And, emulating the bands that I liked at the time, you know, and then sort of getting a defining sound of our own. And, growing up in the 80s as a, you know, sort of not closeted, but a self-hating homosexual in the Reagan era, when I'm being told, the disease that has no name, for many years, and you can listen to those records and hear where that goes.
Well, and there was a period of time when you were outed, and people did it so that you would become. They wanted you to become what they wanted you to become, more political at that time, and you resisted that at the time, even though that's now more of what you're.
Yeah, it's more of what I am, because I wanted to grow into that. Coming out is never easy. You know, for anybody who's thinking about doing it, it's not going to be that easy. But once you do it, you know, and you grow into yourself, it's an amazing journey. But I had parents to be concerned with. I had family concerns, and, you know, now everything is great. But at the time, those things weighed heavy on my mind. Professionally, most people knew that I was gay. It just wasn't a qualifier for wasn't a discussion. Mm-hmm. Now years later that, you know, I've sort of had this journey, you know, especially in New York, you know, in the clubbing and just, you know, all the things that a lot of, you know, sort of a lot of gay men might do when they're 20 or 22. You know, I had this career for 20 years that where I didn't get a chance, you know, so it's not so much a midlife crisis as just my whole schedule got turned upside down. Well, now political stuff I'm more comfortable talking about, but, you know, again, the caveat is I can be a loose cannon. So, you know, I might not be towing the party line specifically the way that someone might want me to say it. So it's
then or now. One of the interesting things to me about what happened with you is here you are. I mean, I'm not sure what age you were when Zen Arcade was blowing up, and it was like
23,
right? Okay, I don't know anybody who's fully formed at 23, and you are at that age a certified genius, top of the passing job poll. How did you react to that? Do you remember how you felt at the time?
Just do more work.
Really?
Do more work. It was, I mean, that period was pretty incredible. I mean, that, you know, I think some of us are fortunate to have one burst like that in our lifetime, let alone a number of them. And, you know, the period where Zen Arcade was conceived through the period when Flip Your Wig came out, which would be about a creatively about a 2-year period, but, you know, Zen Arcade was September of 84, New Day Rising was January of 85, and Flip Your Wig was September of 85. So, you know, in a 13-month span, a double album and two single albums. I think Husker Du, the band, and me personally had the sense to realize we're on fire and let's just do as much as we can, as fast as we can, because people seem to be responding and the change is happening. So it was very, you know, it was a great emotional burst, a great creative burst that, you know, that one fizzled out. And then, you know, the next one was 88, but.
Bob Mould is our guest. And, speaking of creative bursts, I wanted to get back to District Line. I wanted to go to the stage of World Cafe Live for a performance because I love this song called Again and Again, and you do a really nice solo version of it. Are the solo performances a necessity for you, or do you like them, or how does?
Well, it serves a number of purposes. It's a way to be intimate with the crowd, you know, in a setting where I'm very approachable, both, you know, both as on stage and after the show, to be able to say hi to folks and things. It's a good way for me to workshop new material, works in progress. I mean, you know, going back to the creative bursts in 1991 when all I did was solo touring. I mean, that was what set up Copper Blue. I mean, that was the writing period. Huh. I would write on the road. I was trying stuff out, and so solo performances are great for that. And also, you know, quite honestly, it's a good way to make a living. You know, it's a economical way to travel. I can address a lot of the country that maybe I can't do with a band. So, you know, it's also how I make my living.
So this is Again and Again, one of the new songs from Bob Mould.
It began sometime last week, the feeling that most everything was changing for the worse. All the triggers pulled at once, so begins my ugly fall from grace. Again, yeah. Oh, I made myself delusional. The noblest habit of staying upbeat. It was only for a while, yeah. Oh, I tried my best to radiate through hurricanes and double eights, yeah. The pair split into two, yeah. Oh, talking points from up on high. Watch me walk the wedge. I am comfortable out here by myself. Oh, and you could never reach me here. Words distorted in the wind, landing softly there beneath the trees, yeah. Oh, a trip to California. Don't say I didn't try to warn ya. Put down your cell phone and try to be with me. Did you see me disappear like vapor rolling through the hills and then the silence of your name? Oh, I've never found a trust in me from you. Everything you did was making me wonder. My biggest mistake was taking you back again and again. I couldn't
day of the things that you did. Glad it worked out for you, but you're only fooling yourself if you think you won't do it again and again, yeah. Sad attempted poetry, sad attempted happiness, the sadness of reality. And I'm okay, I've been okay, yeah. I stay okay, yeah, now. Now, now, I took the bullets from the cardboard, tossed them in my backpack. A place to set our keys inside the grill, yeah. Oh, I left the title to the house inside the piano bench, yeah. And my lawyer's got the will, yeah. Oh, I never found a trust in any from you. Everything you did was making me wonder. Oh, my biggest mistake was taking you back. Oh, can it, I can, I couldn't forgive the things that you did. Glad it worked out for you, but you're only fooling yourself if you think you won't do it. I can it, I can, yeah. Oh, yeah. My biggest mistake was taking you back. Oh, can it, I can, I couldn't forgive the things that you did. Glad it worked out for you, but you're grown and fooling yourself if you think you won't do it again and again,
again and again. On stage at World Cafe Live, our guest is Bob Mould, and that is another one you'll find the band version of on District Line. This is kind of just a weird idea I've had in my mind, Bob, and I'm going to bring it up. Listening to you play live and listening to this album and hearing a lot of your guitar parts where they are now and your lead lines, and I know you've covered Richard Thompson in the past. Mm-hmm. Have you ever played with him? Have you ever considered that?
I don't know if I'd want to be in the same room with a guitar and him. You know,
really?
I think I'm a good rhythm guitar player. Richard's sort of the master at this thing. I was not familiar with Richard's work until late in 1988 when most of Workbook was written. I got together with a friend of mine named Dave Ayers, who was an A&R person at Capitol Records. He was at Twin Tone and signed Soul Asylum, then moved on to Capitol. And I got together with Dave and played him some of the material, some of the demos for Workbook, just to get a feel like if I was on any kind of track. And he just sat and listened and didn't say anything. And then he looked up, he goes, "Have you ever heard of a fellow named Richard Thompson?" And I said, "No, why?" And so he handed me, you know, Bright Lights and Shoot Out the Lights, and just said, "You really need to listen to this stuff." And I listened, and I was like, "Oh, no."
Well, I wanted to close out with Return to Dust, because it's you mentioned a centerpiece, and it's just a really, really beautiful song.
Thank you.
And anything more we should know about this before we get to
it? It's sort of, you know, it's I think the line, you know, the growing old, it's hard to be the angry young man, that was the last sentence that was written for the record. You know, Miniature Parade was the last song, but the final sentence written for the album was that. And I think, you know, I think it's a common concern amongst those of us who have stayed a long time in the profession. You know, I think of other people like Townsend, you know, or Neil Young. I mean, it's, you know, those are people I've learned from, and, you know, the concern never changes. You know, we go on and wonder if, you know, we've all, you know, especially I think with Townsend, you set out to destroy the things in front of you. And these things are, and you build these things that you weren't even aware of, and then all of a sudden you're on the other side of it. It's a, you know, it's just that kind of song. Sort of, what does it all mean? What have I really done here? And where does it, you know, at the end of it, what's left?
Return to Dust, Bob Mould from District Line, with that line in there, growing old, it's hard to be the angry young man. And you mentioned Pete Townsend. Well, I think you gave your own example of Husker Du doing just that, battling what was there. Mm-hmm. And now you've come to love club music. So there you go. Life is full of contradictions.
It sure is.
Bob, thank you so much for
talking
to us.
Thank you, David. It's always a pleasure to come by. Thank you.
Bob Mould, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.